just want to slowly pray before we start seeing them. Heavenly Father, it would be wrong of us to come before you tonight without first of all praising you for the fact that we're found here. And we thank you for this fact, Lord. Thank you that you saved us. Father, thank you that you've opened our eyes. Father, thank you that we do have a willingness and desire, Lord, to be here tonight. Father, we just seek your blessing upon this meeting. Lord, we pray that you might bless the effort that Mark has put into preparing this message for us tonight. Lord, we pray that each one of us, we have had obviously various different things this week that occupy our time, our thoughts, or maybe even worries. We should pray that you help us, Lord, now to put those things aside. Help us to try and really focus on you tonight, Lord, and to listen to what you have to say through your servant Mark. Lord, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, and keep the devil from this building tonight, Lord, that we might really see you amongst us tonight. We pray, Lord, as we come to a time of prayer later, that you would help us to remember the things to pray for, Lord. It's so easy to just forget how many things we have to thank you for and how many needs there might be, Lord, in the church and our families and in the world. We pray you help us. Lord, give us those burdens for those things to pray for, Lord, later on this evening. Father, we would just take this opportunity to thank you for the work that we've been able to do, Lord, in your name in this church so far this week amongst the ladies and amongst the children. And I pray just again, Lord, that you might bless that work that's been done, that you might use it unto salvation of these young souls. And we pray for the FOY, if they meet tomorrow, that you might bless that meeting. Again, Lord, that some of these, Lord, we thank you that these teenagers are coming in, Lord, we know that it's the perfect age for the devil to work in their minds. We thank you, Lord, that there are still a few number that come in. We pray you might keep them coming and that you speak to them, Lord, that they might be saved soon. So, Father, we just pray that you might, again, Lord, just be with us this evening, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you forgive us for our sins, Lord, and help us to be more closely with you, not just this evening, Lord, through the rest of this week, through the rest of our lives. We just pray that you bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's two readings tonight. I'm just going to do the first one that for you before putting it up here, and then Mark will read the second one, then do his thing. The first reading is from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the first seven verses. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 7. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. But before he was taken he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith.
Right, the second reading is from Genesis 5, verse 6 to 24. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. And after he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years, and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years, and begot Canaan. And after he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years, and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I'll just read on one more. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Now, I'm going to be speaking to you tonight a little bit about Enoch. I came to look at Enoch, and I thought that there was a bit more in the Bible about Enoch than there was. But I think there's enough to speak to you about Enoch tonight. So, as you see here, Enoch was one of many people in that list of people. But Enoch stands out for two big reasons. And I should think you know what the two big reasons are that I'm about to tell you. Enoch didn't just live, and he didn't die. Enoch didn't just live, and he didn't die. He didn't just live, did he? He walked with God. Now, as you see in the rest of the people, it says, and Jared lived so long and died. And all these other people, they just lived. But God wanted to emphasise with Enoch that Enoch walked with God. In Genesis 5 verse 21, says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. So we can see that although Enoch walked with God, that wasn't always the case. Enoch didn't always walk with God, because as you notice, it says Enoch lived 65 years, the same as the other people. After he begat Methuselah, he began to walk with God. I believe that the birth of Methuselah must have been a turning point in Enoch's life. His turning point when he turned around from the way he was going. He quite likely was living like the world around him. But at the birth of Methuselah, he was saved and turned around to walk with God. But we talk about a walk with God. What does that exactly mean? What is a walk with God? And I believe this means three main things. Now there's three, I've got 3 points this evening. He walked with God, Enoch worked for God, and Enoch left with God. But on this first point, Enoch walked with God, I've got 3 subheadings. And the first one is to walk by faith in God. I believe to walk with God, you have to walk by faith in God. We need to live our life fully believing and trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if anything God says, we do. When God says something, we do it straight away without query, because we are trusting in God, that God knows what's best for our life. You just imagine with me for a moment that you were rock climbing somewhere out in the countryside, and you slipped and fell onto a ledge you may not have been hurt, but you slipped and fell on the ledge, and you couldn't do anything about it. You couldn't move because the ledge was too small. So someone called out Mountain Rescue. That's one of your friends that was left up the top. They called out Mountain Rescue. So a rescuer came with ropes. He abseiled down to you, perhaps tied a rope onto you. And he would have said, trust in me, trust the rope and trust in me, and climb up with me, and I will guide you as to where you should put your feet and hands, and I will guide you up. But you must do exactly what I say. Just imagine, if he didn't do what he said, and he stepped on the wrong part of the rock, he would have fallen. It's just like that with God. God's come down and made that way possible for us to get up to heaven, made that way possible for us to get right with God. And we need to fully trust in God for our life, that God will lead us in exactly the right way. And we don't need, and we shouldn't query and wonder why, but we should go exactly where God wants us to. We must rely on Him and not our own understanding. That man, that although he's slipped off, he may think, oh well, I can see a better route up there, I'll go that way. But no, he had to trust in what the rescuer was saying. We need to trust in what God says, in what God's plan for us in our life is, and go the way He wants. We know that Enoch walked by faith, and this is why I believe that walking with God, this is one element of it. Because in Hebrews 10 verse 5 it says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we know that Enoch was walking by faith in God. So we must as well. Now, coming to my second subheading, I believe that a walk with God requires holiness. It requires us to be holy. Because God is the most perfect being ever. He can't have anything to do with sin or sinners. Anything simple, we can't have anything to do with, let alone having a close fellowship and walk with them. So the person he is having fellowship and having a walk with must be holy. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, God is light, and we cannot have fellowship with him if we are living in darkness. So if we are living in sin, and we are sinful beings, we cannot have fellowship with God, and therefore we cannot walk with God. But you may be asking, well, how on earth can we, as sinners, walk with God like Enoch did? How did Enoch come to that, being a sinful being, walk with God? Well, there is hope, because God sent Jesus down to be our Saviour. We are made holy through His blood. And although we need to live like God wants us to, we need not to sin. But if we do, in 1 John 2 verse 1 and 2, it shows us how we mustn't sin. But when we do, Jesus has paid that price for us and made us holy and paid the price for that sin. So, to walk with God, we must walk by faith in God, and we must be holy. And thirdly, I believe, there must be an agreement as to the direction and the place you're going. Now, you can't just walk up to someone and just start walking with them. You have to have an agreement with them that you want to walk with them. Now, you either speak to that person first and get friendly with them, or they are your friends and you ask them, can I walk with you? Can I walk to church with you? Can I walk here with you? or that person may ask you, do you want to come and walk with me? It's a bit like when I was in Wales with Debbie, visiting our friends up there. They said, would you like to go and walk today? And they suggested where we should go. And we said, yeah, that'd be lovely. So we went with them to that place. And we went the route that they had said, because they knew the way better than us. They knew the best place to go. They knew it better than us, so we could see the views around about us. And that is like God. God knows the best route for us in our life. God knows the best place for us to be going. And that best place for us to be going is ultimately to be like God, to be like Jesus, to be holy in heaven. And that is our aim and our goal. But the route we don't necessarily know. We need to trust in God that He will take us on that route. 1 John 1 verse 5, it shows, no, Amos 3 verse 3, it says, do two people walk together unless they agree to do so? So that just backs what this point is saying. We must agree to walk with God. It's not something that just happens. You don't just come along one day and just begin to walk with God. You've got to make that decision to walk with God. And also we can notice how it's a walk. It's not a sprint or a run. And many people can sprint and run, but only for a little while. But this is a walk for life. No one can sprint or run for life. This is a walk for life. But also we can notice how it's not just a leisurely stroll. It's not just a meaningless, aimless stroll. Like perhaps you might just decide to just go out for a walk for a little while to clear your head. Doesn't matter where you're going. This is a meaningful walk. It's a long walk. It takes perseverance. And as with a long walk, there are ups and downs. There are hard times. But we need to persevere. And we need to work at it. It's not always easy. But we need to work at it. And stay with God. So that God will help us along that walk. Also, we need to stay close by to God. It's not just a walk with God, but He's up front and we're lagging behind. Because we don't know where we're going. This is one reason. We don't know where we're going. We need to stay close to God so He can guide us. We need to stay close to God through reading God's Word and through praying to Him. So that we know exactly where God wants us to go in our life. So we've seen that he walked with God. And to walk with God, it requires faith in God, it requires holiness, and it requires an agreement with God as to where you're going. And my second point in Enoch's life is that Enoch worked for God. Enoch preached and prophesied for God here on earth. It wasn't just a quiet walk with God. He was loud about it. He proclaimed God's word. In verse 14 and 15, it says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, says the seventh from Adam to distinguish between the two Enochs. The seventh from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So, he preached for God, he worked for God. And let's notice the content. There's two main things. Firstly, he proclaims the coming judgment of the Lord. It says, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. He warns people, he tells people about what's coming, about God is coming, Jesus is coming again to judge them for all the wrong things they do. And also, he speaks strongly against the ungodly people in the world around him. He speaks strongly against the ungodly things that they do and the ungodly things around him. And shouldn't we be doing likewise? Shouldn't we be doing the same? Shouldn't we be warning people of the judgment to come? Shouldn't we be warning them how they are going to be judged for all the wrong things in their life? So many people around about us just go around walking in their life, in their way, not regarding what God wants, not even realising there is a God there, and if there is, they don't care. Shouldn't we be warning them that there is a judgment and that they will be judged for all the things that they do? And notice how ungodly, the word ungodly, is used four times in this one sentence. And even some people say where this is taken from the book of Enoch, which isn't in the Bible, but this statement is taken from the book of Enoch, that it's actually only half a sentence extracted out of that book. So in half a sentence the word ungodly is used four times. Now perhaps this shows us that we should speak out more against the ungodly things around us. Now, so often I'm at work and they're talking about some terrible things and they're looking at some bad things. So often we won't speak out against it. But Enoch speaks out against all the ungodly things in his day and age. Now, at that time of judgment, will we be able to have a clear conscience that we have told as many people about that judgment as we possibly can? Now, Enoch and Noah did after him. They proclaimed throughout their life of the judgment to come. But have we? Are we able to say that we have told people about that judgment to come? Because that's our job here on earth, to proclaim the gospel and to tell them how there is a way to get right with God and to tell them that there is a judgment coming. And that brings me on to my third and last point. Enoch left with God. He didn't die. Now that's an amazing thing. It's only happened to two people in history. I was thinking about this today, and if I started telling the guys at work how Enoch actually didn't die, I should think that they would laugh at me and told me I was stupid or something. But Enoch didn't die, and we can trust God's word. Hebrews 11 verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him before. But because before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now I think that that is the greatest testimony anyone can ever have. The greatest testimony anyone can ever have amongst the people around them, to say that you pleased God. But this wasn't just other people saying that he pleased God. This was God himself saying that he pleased God. Now so often we hear, after perhaps someone's died, or just someone talking about someone, how they please other people and they're nice people. But so rarely do we hear that someone pleased God throughout their life. But this was the case with Enoch. Enoch pleased God. But I don't believe that just because Enoch was taken from this life without dying means that everyone that dies doesn't please God. I believe it's because so many times through Scripture he says how God's people have pleased him. Noah, for instance, in the reading we saw that he pleased God. So I don't believe that the fact that Enoch was taken away necessarily means that everyone that hasn't pleased God. I do believe that this is a great proof and a great indication that God does keep his promises. For in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30 it says, "For those who honour me, I will honour. Those who honour me, I will honour." Now this, I understand it, to mean that like when the Queen honours people in her New Year's honours list, she bestows upon them a title. She honours them in that way because of what they have done for their Queen and for their country. I believe in the same way that God honours his people for their love to him and for their faith in him. And I believe that this must have been a great encouragement to those living around about him, those saved sinners that were living in his time. Because we've got to remember that he was living not too long, I wouldn't say, after Abel was killed by Cain. I say this because, according to my figures, if I've worked them out correctly, I believe that Adam only died 57 years before Enoch was taken. And Seth, Cain and Abel's brother, died 57 years after Enoch was taken away. So everyone would have known about that terrible thing that Cain had done because of Abel's good sacrifice. But also, it was long enough for there to be many, many of Cain's descendants on the world at that time. Some people estimate even a couple of million, by the way they calculate. I don't know how many, but there would have been many of Cain's descendants, which were known to be evil people. So, although those people were around, Enoch still walked with God, and Enoch still proclaimed God's word to them. And also, it was, I reckon, around about 531 years after Enoch was taken away that the flood occurred. That great flood that annihilated this whole earth apart from Noah and his family. Now, looking at 531 years, that's less than one man's life back then. Now, knowing the patience and the love of God for the people on earth, I think it's pretty safe to say that the time when Enoch was living was a pretty poor time for a follower of God to be living. It may have even been worse than today. But we can take great comfort in the fact that God honours those who honour him. This can give us great encouragement to continue our walk with God and to continue to live like God wants us to live, because God honours those that honour him. But you may be asking, how can I please God in the same way Enoch pleased God? How can I please him that much? Well, in Hebrews 11 verse 5 it says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God." So we need faith. We need faith in God, and I believe if we are all believers here, we have all got a certain amount of faith in God. But we need to continue and to continue to grow in faith. And in Romans 10 verse 17 it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to continue to read God's word. We need to pray to him. We need to come to church. We need to hear God's word being expounded, so that we can grow in faith, so that we can live a life like Enoch, so we can walk with God in the way that he wants us to, so we can walk by faith in God and please him. Now, our last hymn this evening is hymn 736. I do not know what lies ahead. Now, I chose this hymn because this helps us to understand basically how Enoch lived. He didn't know what lies ahead. We don't know what lies ahead, yet we need to put our trust in God and our faith in God, that he will guide us in the best way possible. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word. I thank thee how you keep your word and keep your promises, Lord. And I thank thee how you have said in your word that who honours you, you will honour, Lord. And I thank thee how you gave that living proof in Enoch's life, how as he honoured you, you honoured him and took him to be, took him to be with yourself. And Lord, I pray that this may be an encouragement to us to continue to walk with you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will help us to live our lives in a way that pleases you. We pray that you will draw us nearer to yourself and to walk closer with you. And Lord, we pray that through the next coming weeks and months and years, if you tarry, we will walk ever closer with you. And Lord, we pray for Simon and Annie, Lord, and we pray that you will give them wisdom in the days ahead. And we pray that you will help Simon as he looks as to what he needs to do with his work. And we pray that you will help him and heal him of his depression, Lord. And we pray that you will strengthen him and uphold him to be able to go back to work again. And Lord, I pray that you will guide them and lead them in this matter. Lord, I do pray also for those that are away. I pray for Pastor and Mark and Marion and Vanessa and Pete. I pray that you will be with them and keep them safe on their journey back tomorrow. And we pray that you will bring them back safely. And we pray that they may have had a restful and a lovely time away. And we pray that you will bring them back to take up your work then here, and Lord, we pray that you may strengthen the pastor as he's been away, Lord, and Lord, we pray that you will help him as he comes to lead the flock here. So now we pray that you will continue to be with us as we go our separate ways. Lord, we thank thee for the power of prayer, and Lord, we thank thee how we can pray for one another. And we pray that you will help us to remember one another in prayer. And Lord, we thank thee for those that have remembered me in prayer this week as I studied for speaking your word this evening. And we thank thee for strengthening me and being with me this evening. And we thank thee for my brothers and sisters who prayed for me over this week. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be an encouragement to one another in prayer. Through Jesus Christ's name I ask all these things.
Amen.